resting alone in the desert. Tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last.
Thank you, Miss Camp. Open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Miss Camp, you did an outstanding job on an old hymn that's been such a blessing for so long. Don't discount something from being worthwhile or usable because it's old. If you have found your place in Hebrews chapter 11, would you stand, please, as we read the Word of God? Beginning in verse number 1, we'll read through verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to speak to you this morning, not just on the subject of faith, but on the subject of things that accompany our faith. Faith does not stand alone. There are things that go with faith, that accompany our faith. And I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. Heavenly Father, help me as I bring this message today to help your dear people to understand that faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation is just the beginning point of the Christian life. Now, it's not the beginning point of salvation, because salvation is settled once and for all forever in Jesus Christ when we put our faith and trust in him to save us. But in our Christian life, faith in Christ as Savior is just the beginning point. There are other things that you want to accompany our faith in order that we might grow and mature and become the Christian you intend for us to be. Help us all to understand we're not yet what you want us to be. You're still in the process of making us and growing us into the man and the woman that you desire us to be for you. And help us to learn from the lesson today. Now, Father, if there be someone here today that's never been saved, I'm asking you this morning to save their soul. I pray that this will be the beginning day, the birthday of a new life in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us, grow us, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter in the New Testament. 24 times in Hebrews 11 alone, the word faith is used. It tells us what faith is in the very first chapter. And then it tells us how that we can believe in divine creation in verse number 3. And then it begins with the very first man, the offspring of the first man. And it says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, through faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, and then by faith Rahab, by faith Joshua, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And on and on and on throughout this chapter, it tells about the testimony and the deeds of these men and women who acted by faith in the Word of God. Now, the word faith appears about 240 times in the Word of God. And you'd be interested perhaps in knowing that only two times the word faith appears in the Old Testament. Only two times. Once, when God is speaking to Israel in Deuteronomy 32, and because of their backsliding, he calls them a generation, a children in whom is no faith. What a sad testimony for a family. Or a generation in whom there is no faith. What a sad testimony for a person. And the second time it's used is in Habakkuk chapter 2, where God lets us know that the just shall live by faith. And that verse is quoted again in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. But our Lord wants us to know that faith is not something new. Faith has been around since the beginning of time, and it's God's gift to man. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The faith with which we believed was not conjured up on our own. It was God's gift to a lost sinner in order that we might believe upon Jesus Christ. Now, even though God gives men faith to believe, not everybody uses that faith and believes. Now, the Old Testament servants of God didn't talk much about faith. They just practiced it. They just lived by faith. They lived by the Word of God, and they did things, and God used them to accomplish feats that seem miraculous to us, but they were just men obeying God, acting by faith. And God did the rest. God filled in the blanks. So important is faith in our Christian life that God has declared in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You cannot be a Christian pleasing to God walking by sight or walking by feelings. If we're going to please God, we've got to learn to walk by faith. That means we keep on serving God when the price of gas goes up. We keep on serving God when our electric bills are doubled. We keep on serving God when others around us mistreat us. A life of faith equals a life of faithfulness. Whatsoever is not of faith, Paul said in Romans 14, is sin. To live your Christian life by sight, by feeling, by circumstances, to be moved with the flow and the tide of time, and not trust God, not walk with God, the Bible says it is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. May I submit to you that over these 43 years now almost of preaching the Word of God, starting my 43rd year, I've already started it, I have discovered time and time again people come to me to tell me what they're going to do, hoping that God will approve of it. Oh, how we need to learn to trust Him. We need to make our decisions on the basis of faith. Not what the newscast says. Not what the popular flow of our day is. Faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. May I say to you, if your business dealings is not a result of obeying God's leadership and faith, by faith you enter into these ventures. Trusting God. Obeying God. You may build a business, but God won't bless it. God won't approve it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Not everything that is successful in the world is of God and is of faith. The thing about faith in our life is not how much faith we have, but rather using what faith we do have. There's where the problem lies. Christians in the year 2006 walk more by sight and feelings and depend more on talents and ability and education than they do trusting God's Word and following the leadership of God according to His Word. Let me say this quickly. Don't ever come to me and telling me God is leading you to do something that contradicts the plain teachings of Scripture. You better try that spirit because it's not of God. Now, our faith will not increase until we begin to use what faith we have. Exercising our faith causes our faith to increase. Strengthening our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Learning the Word of God and obeying the Word of God and doing the will of God exercises your faith. When we do that, our faith grows, it strengthens, it increases. Jesus has told us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, may I submit to you that every Christian has at least mustard faith, mustard seed faith. Mustard seed's the smallest of all seeds, it said. And we've got that much faith. You say, how do you know? We had enough faith to get saved, didn't we? Enough faith to get saved is enough faith to bring about the miracle of the new birth, the resurrection from the dead. We pass from death unto life. We've got at least mustard seed faith. Our problem is not how much faith we have. We're not using what we do have. We're not trusting God and His Word with the faith we do have. We live life without walking by faith in God and His Word. And we live life when we do without pleasing God. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and without faith it's impossible to please God. Now, with that for a little introduction, I want you to consider some things that always accompany our faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, victory accompanies our faith. Victory accompanies our faith. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May I say, first of all, the believer has been given victory over sin's condemnation because of his faith in Jesus Christ. We didn't fight that battle to win victory over sin's condemnation. Now, to be condemned means that God's already passed sentence on us, guilty, and we're condemned to the place called hell. That's already a settled fact. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. But yet, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again for our justification, God saves us and erases the condemnation that's against us. Jesus said in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So faith provides victory over sin's condemnation. Romans 8:1 says to Christians, people who have put their faith and trust in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thank God when we trust Jesus, God cancels out our sin debt. He cancels out the penalty of that sin. The wages of sin is death. He cancels out the judgment of hell and the lake of fire forever. And He gives us life everlasting. That's victory, friend. Victory like you've never known before. And it's ours on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have been given victory over the grave and death because of faith in Jesus Christ. You see, before I got saved, I feared death. I hated the graveyard. I didn't want to go out there. I didn't like to think about it. Didn't want to talk about it because I feared it. Death is an enemy if you've never been saved. But in Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, we've been given the victory over the grave and hell. Some old preacher said, God's made the grave for the Christian just a pleasant place to wait for the resurrection. The coming of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's given through faith in Jesus Christ. May I say in the third place, the Christian's been promised victory over this world and this world system. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, because of faith in Jesus Christ, this world is not my home. You say, but I'm a citizen here. Yeah, but I've got dual citizenship. And this is only my temporary home. I've got a permanent home waiting for me in glory because of Jesus Christ. Because of faith in Jesus Christ, I'm a stranger and pilgrim here. I don't feel at home in the devil's crowd down here. I don't feel at home doing the devil's business down here. This world's not my home. I have a citizenship in heaven. And you listen to what I'm about to say. There's no illegal aliens in heaven. You don't slip into heaven and then petition for citizenship. You've got to be born again. You get saved. Nothing that defileth enter in to that city, the Bible tells us. So victory accompanies our faith. You go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you read the lives of these men and you read about victory, 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 and it all begins by faith. By faith. You want to live a victorious life? You're going to have to quit walking by sight and by feeling. You're going to have to quit walking by the popular opinion of your day. Come back to trust God. And live and practice and walk by the principles of this blessed book. Secondly, not only does victory accompany our faith, but works. Labor Day. Thought I might throw it in. He didn't say slothfulness accompanies faith. He didn't say laziness accompanies faith. He didn't say sitting under the tree chewing on a twig accompanies our faith. I said, works accompany our faith. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of James chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit him? Even so with faith. If it hath not works, it's dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, though thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, he is not saying here that we're saved by our works. But he's saying that the testimony of our faith in Christ is showed by our works. Now, he is writing this to show that man is justified in the sight of other men by works. We're justified in the sight of God by our faith. Now, I can't see your faith. Jesus sees our faith. Remember the four that brought the palsied man and led him down through the roof, and Jesus looked up and saw their faith? Jesus can see faith. God can see faith. But I can't see faith. You can't see faith. If you tell me you're a Christian and that you're living by faith, then that faith must be accompanied by faithful works in order for me to see your faith. So works accompany faith. Faith in Jesus Christ harnesses the believer for Christian service. Faith in Christ motivates the Christian to go to work for the cause of Christ. Faith produces a testimony of faithfulness before others. You know what faithfulness is? It's just showing the works of faith. Consistency in your place, being, doing what you ought to be doing. When you live by faith in God and His Word, you don't have to tell everyone about your great faith. They can see it by your faithfulness, by your service to Him. It's like living and walking in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to tell everybody you're filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, they'll see the fruit of the Spirit. I have a plum tree in my backyard. And in the spring when that thing blooms and puts on plums, it doesn't have to stand out there and say, I'm a plum tree. You can see the fruit. When you're walking by faith, people can see the works that accompany that faith. There's something wrong with a person that says, I live by faith, and they never do one blessed thing for Jesus Christ. They don't even come to church regularly or faithfully. So our works accompany our faith. By the way, if you're a Christian, you claim to be living by faith, what are you doing? What are you doing? You ought to be involved. You ought to get busy. You ought to have a ministry. You ought to do something. If it's nothing more than getting here early and standing out on the front porch greeting everybody and helping people to get to the right place, there ought to be something that's yours that you do as a testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ and your belief in the Bible. Works accompany our faith. Thirdly, when we learn to live and walk by faith as Christians, trials will also accompany our faith. You say, well, I don't want those. They go together. You can't walk by faith without trials. Study the life of every Christian recorded in the Bible. You'll find that he not only enjoyed great victories and great fellowship with God, and he was faithful in service, but he went through trials. Every one of them, trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. I'll wait until they turn it off. I learned that at the Mozart concert. Only thing I got out of it, but I learned that. The phone rang and they just stopped until they turned it off. And then they started up again. So now I'll start up again. First Peter 1 verse 5 through 9, talking about Christians who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter is writing to Christians who are discouraged because great trials and afflictions are being brought on them and against them. People were being burned in Nero's gardens as human torches. Christians were targeted and they were going through great trials. And Peter says, don't you forget, as you walk by faith as a Christian and you're faithful to God even through trials, those trials are more precious than that of gold. You say, how could that be? How could that be? Because our faith, if it's real faith, must be tested and proven. Trials reveal those who are living by faith from those who are not. It reveals the real from the unreal. It reveals those who just want to come in and get in on the blessings to those who are walking by faith. Trials have a way of separating the dross from the gold or the silver. Flesh gives up and quits when trials come. Faith just keeps on serving and obeying in spite of terrible circumstances. You go through Hebrews 11, and our Lord gives more than 20 illustrations of Christians walking by faith, and every one of them had to overcome great trials and terrible circumstances. And it was after their trials, after they were proved faithful, that God wrote the story in the book about their faithfulness. Some of you get saved and the first day you want to be declared faithful. No, God's going to allow some trials to accompany your faith, to test you, to see if you're sincere, see if it's real, if you mean business for God. God not only allowed the trials to prove us faithful, He uses the trials to conform us into the servant He desires us to be. Many of you think you're everything God wants you to be right now, but you're not even close. If it were possible for us to see what God desires of our life as compared to what we really are, we'd be ashamed of how little of His desires we have accomplished in our life. But the trials help to conform us to the will of God and build us into the servant God wants us to be. See, God's not just interested in building churches. He's interested in building people. I talked to a young preacher this week that was about to quit, about to give up. He'd gone through heartaches and trials. And he says, I don't understand why. And I'd been working on this message, so I just preached this part of it to him. I said, do you think you're the man God wants you to be right now? You're everything God wants? Well, no. I said, no, son, you're not. God's trying to build the man, the servant that He wants you to become. And He uses trials to do that. We mustn't buck and run and kick and fight against them. We need to yield to God and ask God to help us to be faithful so His will and purpose can be accomplished. Amen. When trials come, that's not the time to quit. That's the time to yield to God and let God do His work and accomplish His purpose. You see, trials are often God's hammer and chisel that cuts away the rough and worldly spots from our life and our hearts. Trials are often God's way of cutting and polishing His choice jewel so that He'll be of greater value and shine with greater brilliance for Him. Trials are often God's way of digging us out to enlarge our capacity of service for Him. If you think you're doing everything that God wants you to accomplish for Him where you are right now, you're sadly mistaken. But you don't get saved one week and become a pastor next week. You don't get saved one week and teach the teen department the next week. If you do, God helped the pastor that allowed it. God's got to grow us. He's got to increase our capacity for service, which means greater understanding and knowledge and trust and dependence on Him. A greater walk with Him than ever before. He digs us out. If I had a pond that held 50 gallons of water and I wanted to put 100 gallons of water in it, I'd have to dig it out. If I wanted to put 10,000 gallons, I'd have to dig it out some more. And God's not interested in you being a 1 or 2 gallon Christian. He wants you to be a gallon barrel Christian. He wants you to be a reservoir of His power and His love. God has to use trials in order to increase our capacity for His power and His knowledge and His will and His service through our life. God allows trials as a way to keep us trusting in Him, to keep us on our knees asking for His help and presence. I promise you, when your health's good and your pocket's full and your job seems secure, you don't do as much praying and Bible reading as you normally would. When trials come, we kind of want to get away and get on our knees with Him. We want to get in the Word of God. And God knows that For some of us, the only way he can get us in the book and on our knees is to send fiery trials in our life to do it. You see, trials help keep us humble and close to God. And when we're humble, we're trusting and growing and learning and depending. And lastly, the good pleasure of God accompanies our faith. The good pleasure of God accompanies our faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Going through the list of the heroes of faith, their actions directed by their faith in God pleased God so much that he recorded it in his holy word for us. He recorded it in his word for us. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now I ask you, is there any testimony of your faith recorded in heaven? If you're saved, then your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior is the first item recorded in his record book of your Christian life. But let me ask you the next question. Is there any other record of faith and faithfulness recorded there since you got saved? I'd hate to get saved and live 5 years, 4 years, 1 year, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and there's never another record of my trusting God and obeying God by faith after salvation. And yet our churches are full of people just like that. We get saved, and that's the last item recorded of a step of faith and trust. The good pleasure of God accompanies our faith. How about faith to attend the house of God faithfully? Is it in the book up there? We ought to have enough faith to worship God in God's house, in a church home, faithfully. Not just conveniently, but faithfully. Faithfully. Someone said, well, I live too far to be faithful. Whether or not we're faithful to our church is not determined by how far we live from the church, but by how far we live from God. Our faith ought to put us in the house of God regularly and faithfully. Is there any record of that about you in heaven? How about faith to witness to your family and friends? Our faith ought to put in us a desire to tell those we loved and care about Jesus. Amen. Is there any record in heaven's book of you acting by faith to tell your loved ones and friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ? Is there any record about faith in your life to give tithes and offerings? By the way, tithing is an act of faith. I'm trusting God to keep his word to do more with a 90% than I could do with 100%. Is there any record of faith that you trust God enough to give him tithes and offerings like he commanded us in the scripture? Is there any record of faith to serve God in your local church? He has a ministry for you if you'll trust him and obey him. Is there any record that by faith you've answered God's call to special service or to serve him as a lay person in your local church, or do you just see it? Let everybody else serve. Or does the record show that you've heard but you've said no to his will? That's not an act of faith. That's defiling faith. That's rebelling against faith. Oh, to learn to trust him. Dear friends, one day we must stand before God and give an account of our life as we have chosen to live it here. Every one of us ought to desire that our record reveals a life of faith and faithfulness to our Savior and our God. The good pleasure of God will not be given out for our successes in business, hobbies, entertainment, or the sporting world. His well done will be given out when we have been faithful to obey Him by faith and to live according to His will. And the good pleasure of God will be given to those who have faithfully lived by faith according to His word. Is that you? Well, today would be a good time for it to become you. It's a good time to begin a new life. A life with victory over sin's condemnation by trusting Jesus. A life of faith and faithfulness in His will by getting involved in His church and serving Him. Faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. A person that comes to church and trying to worship God, but he's trying to do it according to his own intellect and his own opinions and his own reason, is sinning against God. Because you're not accepting God's word and God's message by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So lay aside human reason. You can't reason. You cannot figure mathematically how you can take 100%, give a 10% of it to God, and an offering plus the 10%, and be able to get along better with what's left than you could with the whole. You can't figure it out. It doesn't stand to human reason. But it's a promise that's activated by our faith and obedience. You cannot reason why God would let His own Son die for our wretched sins in order to save hell-deserving sinners like we are. You can't reason that out. You can't say, well, it's just... You'd have to say it's unreasonable that God would give it as a gift. It doesn't meet the test of human reason. But that's exactly what God has promised. Amen. So we accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ by faith in Christ. We can't explain it. We can just enjoy it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, thank You for meeting with us, and thank You for the good crowd on Labor Day.